Good morning, and welcome very much to the first episode of OED Ranked. I'm your existential proxy in crime, Medley from Online. You may know me from stuff, but you probably don't. So with that in mind, I've taken the liberty to prepare a lengthy set of opening remarks to hopefully fully contextualize this most auspicious endeavor. Funnily enough, this is the second draft, and also the rest of the podcast will undoubtedly be far less eloquent and verbose because I am quite stupid and dumb. The Oxford English Dictionary 2nd edition is not just a dictionary. It's a sprawling 20-volume chronicle capturing the English language in all its chaotic, ever-evolving glory. Published in 1989, the 20-book Leviathan of Words and Meanings represents the last fully printed iteration of the OED, the last tangible relic from an era when you had to go to a place and the words were there in printed black and white on the page. Decided upon by probably some old assholes that suck, but decided upon and printed en masse nonetheless. So, for this podcast, I'd chosen this edition of the OED not just for its historical significance, but as one of many small acts of rebellion, embracing something analog, substantial, and unapologetically ambitious in a world that increasingly prizes convenience over depth. Well, okay, so there is a caveat. The OED's print edition is an extravagant $1,200, a price tag that places it firmly out of reach for most people, myself included, as I make no money and have no money. But if that feels steep, consider its digital successor, OED Online, which demands an annual subscription fee of $100 just to browse the very words we all use to communicate. In an age where nearly one in five adults worldwide struggles with basic literacy, and where access to education remains a luxury for many, this feels indefensible. Words are universal. Language is power. What could possibly be lurking in there that's worth the price of admission? Is there some hidden linguistic treasure trove that mere mortals aren't allowed to access? Secret meanings, forbidden definitions, words too powerful or dangerous for free consumption? The audacity to gatekeep the very essence of communication, it's almost enough to make you believe there's some elite cabal of lexicographers laughing in ivory towers. What are they hiding? And more importantly, why don't they want us to know? The absurdity of these paywalls becomes even more glaring when viewed as part of a broader trend, the monetization of knowledge that should belong to everyone. Information, particularly public knowledge that has been built on the contributions of countless individuals across generations, has increasingly been enclosed behind digital gates, accessible only to those who can afford it. Whether it's academic research funded by public institutions, scientific data critical to global progress, or even the little stupid words we use to communicate, this capitalization of knowledge transforms a shared human heritage into a commodity. The result isn't just exclusion, it's a deepening of inequalities, where access to education, understanding, and advancement becomes a privilege rather than a right. In a world that thrives on innovation and connection, gatekeeping information isn't just short-sighted, it's a betrayal of the collective spirit that created it in the first place. Which brings us to the matter at hand, this podcast. As I was lurking around in the depths of archival obscurity, as I am wont to do, I unearthed a fossil from the late 1990s, a CD-ROM claiming to house the entirety of the OED 2nd edition version 1.3.1. But then I learned there was an even newer version, and through some effort, I somehow was able to find that. It actually was a little difficult.
Did you know the internet doesn't really work anymore? Anyway, now we have the OED 2nd edition version 4.0 running on
legitimately,
virtual Windows on my computer.
Legitimately.
Folks, there are oh so many words on this CD-ROM. And so it's from this disc that we're going to launch the only project that may actually be worth doing in humanity's entire recorded history. Ranking every single word in this dictionary on a tier list. If the OED is, as it claims, the most comprehensive account of our language's evolution, then why not break it apart word by word and ask the critical question? Do these words deserve their place in the Linguistic Hall of Fame? Or should they be relegated to the dustbin of history?
Good riddance.
All the words will face our absolutely serious and extremely objective tier system, S tier,
for the untouchable godlike words that define us, A tier for rock solid essentials, B tier for unremarkable workhorses, C tier for the words that limp across the finish line, and the dreaded F tier, where linguistic failures go to die. No word is too grandiose, too insignificant, or too bizarre to escape our judgment. Now, as we navigate the dictionary, ranking exceptions will invariably arise, starting with the staggering realization that there are like 10 entries dedicated to variations of the letter A alone. Now rest assured, every exception will be carefully considered to preserve the integrity of the project while keeping the pace lively and engaging. After all, this podcast is about celebrating language, not being crushed beneath its endless weight. Now, we all know there will be moments that demand serious reflection, like when we inevitably reach the big one, the N-word. And I think there's even a C-word before that. And actually, it's crazy how many slurs are in the dictionary, in every dictionary. But I suppose that speaks to the point that the dictionary serves as a record of language as much as a reference to it. But the hope is that by the time we get to those words, we'll be able to maybe bring on some more accredited guests to engage in a thoughtful but humorous discussion about the word's history, impact, and where it might actually belong in our tier list. If you want to talk about bad words in the dictionary in a slightly academic way, please do reach out. We say the email a little later. Or if you think we should just skip over those kinds of words entirely, we'd like to hear your thoughts on that too. So reach out. Like, I'll break kayfabe somewhat. Just for a moment, this podcast is absolutely a big tee-hee inside joke for sure, but it also actually basically is not that whatsoever also. I'm going to take this all as seriously as I can, but also the premise is just funny, okay? There's simply no avoiding it, but it's going to get real probably a few times too, but it's probably best not to dwell on it. So moving on to the tournament element, now some entries on the CD-ROM stand apart. They're labeled as draft entries. As of the CD-ROM's release in June 2009, these entries were in linguistic limbo, awaiting their verdict for official entry into the OED proper. What that even means in today's context remains oblique. To honor these orphaned words, we've devised a special tradition. At the completion of each letter, all its draft entries will go head-to-head in a bracket-style showdown. Here's where you, dear listener, come in. You'll have the chance to vote for your favorite words in a tournament format, determining which of these neglected entries deserves distinction. Based on your votes, we'll rank the draft entries accordingly. It's your chance to shape the rankings and give these forgotten words a fitting final moment in the spotlight. Now that this is all explained, you might be wondering, what makes me, Medley from Online, qualified to rank every single word in the Oxford English Dictionary 2nd edition? Well, allow me to put your doubts to rest. Absolutely no one else could possibly do this. Not linguists, not historians, not even the editors of the OED themselves. You see, I possess a very particular set of skills, the most important of which being the sheer audacity and lack of self-understanding to take on this project and commit to it as hard as I possibly can. Add to that my complete lack of stakes in the dictionary industrial complex writ large, and you have the perfect candidate. Me. Okay, that pretty much sets it up. If you have an idea for the show, or if you'd like to be a guest, definitely reach out to oedranked@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Find our RSS feed and such at realdiscord.org/podcasts. That is realdiscord.org/podcasts, plural. Don't forget to donate to them. It's a good organization doing good work over there. The official website is actually at realdiscord.org/realwiki, W-I-K-I. It's a simple wiki page with all the information you might want to access, like the rankings and the words that'll be in the draft, and blah, blah, blah. There's really a lot going on over there. Might as well take a look. Okay. Deep breath. I'll never say most of that stuff again. From here on out, there's going to be like a real quick intro at the beginning, and then we're just going to rank the words. I'm trying not to curse. This can be for everybody, okay? This can be for everybody. Okay, I want to put it here on the record in no uncertain terms right at the beginning. The OED starts off with a lot of super horny undertones and, quite frankly, overtones. But let's get into it. Our first word is a draft entry. Can we cue the draft sound effect? Perfect. I can't hear it, but I'm sure it's perfect. We'll use that for every single draft entry. Our first entry is a draft entry dated March 2004, 0898 number. It's a noun with a British denotation. Now, in order to break up the tone of the show, I'm going to use something built into this computer where it'll read the text in a voice for the definitions, and the voice won't be mine. It'll be a lot more pleasant. Really, write in. If you want me to read the definitions, I will. But I think maybe this will be better. Without further ado, 0898 number.
A UK telephone number with the prefix Z898 offering services, especially chat lines, for which callers are charged at a premium rate. In extended use, any premium rate telephone service, especially a chat line offering sexual content.
A chat line offering sexual content. This is entry number one, OED, second edition, volume 4.0, CD-ROM. It's a draft entry. Folks, you know what that means. You're going to have to vote on this one. Now, this is fully featured. They have done a lot of work here, and that should not go overlooked. However, you cannot even get this CD-ROM anymore. This does not even exist for you to have anymore. So every single entry has a quotation. And one that I would like to put into the record for 0898 number for your consideration in the draft at the end of number through A, because it appears they're really trying to sneak some numbers into the OED, okay? And we're going to have to deal with that. Some of them I agree with. Some of them are a little weird. There's not that many of them, and they're all right up front. Folks, 2003, quotation, in defense of 0898 number, or Z898 number, noun. 2003, Radio Times Nexus, 1 March 17. So what the fuck? Is that 2000? Would that be 2001, March the 17th? Chaps, ellipsis, should be setting their video for a cavalcade of estrogen, which is estrogen pronounced with an O. Now, the thing about this is if you click on a word, it'll just tell you what it is. So it's the O and the E smooshed together, estrogen. It's a medical term. Any
cheeky records medley crash.
From way later on. Okay, this is the only time I do this. This is the only time that I like go full deep into a different definition of a different word. And you know what? We're going to rank it. Let's hear the definition. Let's hear the definition in an official capacity.
Any natural or synthetic substance which can produce or maintain the secondary female sex characteristics in a mammal and which initiates certain bodily changes associated with the menstrual or oestrous cycle.
Let's add one quote from 1928, Endocrinology, Chapter 12, Roman numerals, 151, heading, Estrogen, a new sex hormone. It's going to be an easy S for me. Let's go on to back to whatever the... Remember, this is me from the future, so let's go back to where it was. Should be setting their video for a cavalcade of estrogen... Anyways, the like of which would normally cost £1.75 a minute on an 0898 number. So would it be an 0898? We need to have it. I need to consult an expert. We'll get back to you in the next episode. How they say it in the UK. That's entry number one. We can't rank it. I actually don't think we can actually rank any of these numbered entries, which is very, very funny. But when we finally break out to A, when we get to the A's, A comes in strong. I just need to let you know this. A comes on so strong, okay? You know what I'm saying. Moving on. 101, it's an adjective, originally and chiefly U.S. We have another draft entry. This one from June 2004. It's the numbers, numerals 101. Let's get the definition.
As post-modifier, designating an introductory course at U.S. colleges or universities in the subject specified. In extended use, chiefly humorous, designating the basic or elementary facts or knowledge associated with the field or subject specified.
Okay, you're not going to believe this. You would not believe it. I'm going to take a picture. I'll put it somewhere. Somewhere deep in the wiki. I need to put this on the record. Again, this is 101 as in ...2003, the Toronto Star Nexus. Did I say 2003? It literally says 2002 right in front of me. I'm kind of tired. I spent a lot of time getting this idea together last night. This is this is the last quotation of the quotations in defense of 101, 101, as in that is an introductory class. This is some, you know, there's a couple quotations here that are interesting. 1972, Time, electronic edition, 6 November. They had an electronic edition in 1972. We're going to have to look into that. The quote from Time is, since this is a series that emphasizes social relevance 101, and then an M-dash, a basic course on TV these days, M-dash, the hood in that episode is just a good ghetto boy who has been led astray.
I'm going to come out right on
this. This is from 1972.
I wouldn't have bothered to put that one in there.
Over 50 years past. Okay, the one I wanted to say, because, again, the OED is off the bat. Draft entry, they're trying to get all this horny stuff into it. 2002, Toronto Star Nexus, February 9. 9 February. Learn how to write erotica or get sexuality 101 advice. Now, let me tell you how 101 is spelled. Capital O. N-E dash. Lowercase O-H dash. Capital O-N-E. This is just worth noting, okay? This is going to inform your decision in the draft. I'm an impartial, objective observer. I'm trying to earn your trust up front. This was unplanned. I wanted to rank some stuff. We'll get to A, okay? We'll get to A in this episode. It might be a double episode. Who's to say? But that's 101, okay? It's an adjective. Originally and chiefly U.S., that is a draft pick. That is in there. Moving on to the next entry. 1471. 1471, it's a noun. It's from Britain. Another draft entry from June 2004. They're trying to get this one in there. Let's hear the definition.
A telephone service. Accessed by dialing the number 1471, which gives details of the last incoming call.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to exert the... How do I phrase this? I'm going to make a call. Okay? I'm going to make a call on this one. It's out. It is not being considered. It is obsolete. We do not need to know that. We do not need to remember that. Let's go back to 1994, The Guardian, 15 December. A police sergeant has been suspended after the first use of British Telecom's new 1471 service to track an allegedly obscene call. Interesting. Maybe for that tidbit alone, it's worth it. But I don't think so. We are excluding this from the draft. It's unnecessary. Carol had heard a blip. This is from Death on Downs, chapter 29, from 2002, by S. Brett. Carol had heard a blip on her call waiting towards the end of her conversation. At the end of her call, she checked 1471. Folks, this isn't of our concern. This one's gone. Let's move on to the next one. Another draft entry. This is a big one. This is one I will likely throw some weight around on. I'm sure it has since made it in, but I'm not going to actually look into it. We're concerning ourselves with the second edition, the last extant print edition of the OED, the full unabridged print edition. I gotta assume this one is in here. It is 1984. It is a noun. It is the title of a novel. But let's hear the definition for this draft entry.
A totalitarian society in which propaganda and intensive surveillance techniques are used to subjugate the population. Hence, elusively, a society in which personal freedom is thought to be similarly curtailed or controlled.
Yeah. Unfamiliar topic. This was submitted in September 2003. Let's see. Let's go way back to 1956 in the Times, 13 July. People feared that the new machines would further enslave them and that skilled workers would sink into the proletariat. 1984 loomed ominously. Folks, this is a big word. I think this is gonna easily get in there, but stranger things have happened. From 1959, The Times, what ominous message was COP meant to convey? They were our old friend, close of play, ellipsis. It did not seem so friendly in this 1984-ish disguise. The three Stark capitals had a kind of Big Brother look. Big Brother, folks. 1984, big draft entry in my book. Let's move on. Because what else do you have to say? 1984, great entry. So shoot me. I didn't say a lot about it. It's a great book. I don't understand how you could take it any way other than the way it's meant to be taken. But somehow, the horrors persist. Next word, please. I'm saying that like someone else does the word. It is on me to do the word. Next word, another draft entry. June 2001. 24-7. It's an adjective. It's colloquial. And it's originally and chiefly from the U.S. Can I read this one? Would you be mad if I read this one? It's really short. I'm going to read this one, okay? 24-7. 24 hours a day, comma, 7 days a week, semicolon, constantly. 1988, the quotation in defense of 24-7. 1988, Big Daddy Kane, R-A-W, song. I said it R-A-W because it's an acronym, but it says RAW. Instead of me rapping this line, let's pull the clip. It's fair use. It's like two lines.
The show is not for profit.
It's going to help with the ranking. It's important. It's transformative.
We're losing money doing this.
Let's get Big Daddy Kane. 24/7 chilling, chilling like a villain. The meaning of roar is ready and willing to... It's just something you have to know. It's going to inform your decision in the draft. This is a draft entry. I think that says it all. Let's move on to the next one. Another draft entry. From June 2003. 360 hyphen degree. A hyphenate? Or a, what do you call it? Compound word. I suppose a hyphenate. We'll get into that. We'll look into that. We'll settle that in the next episode. 360 degree. It's an adjective. There are several definitions, and we will... There aren't several. There's two. We will give you... Oh, see, but two, it's 2A and 2B. To be or not to be. Or to be 2A. Sexagesimal system. Yeah, we're going to get into that. Let's do the first definition.
Entry 1. Consisting of 360 degrees, the number of degrees through which an arm of a circle rotates about a point to describe a full circle.
In Definition 1's defense from 1991, Seaman Saul, Discover Astral, Chapter 4, Roman numerals. Astrologers down the ages have maintained the perfection of the 360-degree circle. The sexagesimal system of counting created by the Babylonians has not been surpassed. That's weighty. Let's get 2A and 2B. Let's combine 2A and 2B together. 2A or not 2B as one.
2A, of involving or characterized by rotation about 360 degrees, operating throughout a full circle. 2B, figurative, all-encompassing, comprehensive, especially of a study or assessment. In business, designating or relating to an evaluation of job performance in which an employee is assessed by peers and subordinates in addition to a superior or superiors.
See, 2B takes a really explicit turn in a different direction. It incorporates the business definition of 360 degrees in there for some reason. This, it, like, almost makes me uncomfortable for some reason. But 360 degree, again, an adjective, again, a draft entry, is that is a chunky word. That is a chunky word. And I think, I don't know, I think that's going to be a tough choice. This next one is probably going to be a pretty easy choice. The next word, another draft entry, March 2006. 401, open parenthetical, lowercase k, close parenthetical. It's a noun, U.S. It doesn't say, like, originally from the U.S. It doesn't say anything like that. Okay? I'm going to leave this one in as, like, the obvious loser choice. I'm not going to make the call, hang up the phone. I'm not going to make it. We're going to put this one up. We're going to put it in the arena. We're going to put it in the tournament. 401k, let's hear the definition. Before we get the definition, I just need to insert into the record. I believe we found our first typo. Can we get a... sound effect for the typo? Yeah, that'll be it every time. They spelled specified wrong. So when you hear the word specified, know that it said specified. This is what we pay for. Well,
401 K, designation of the section of the U.S. Internal Revenue Code, introduced in 1978, which delineates this provision. More fully, 401k plan. A provision for retirement savings that enables an employee to invest a percentage of pre-tax income, often matched by the employer, into an account where it will not be taxed until withdrawn, withdrawals before a specified date typically incurring a penalty. also an account of this type.
Listen, I am not the authority on the 401k. All right? We need to check into that. We'll see. We'll poll the public opinion. This is the poll of public opinion. We're going to see where we finally stand on the 401k and see if it's going to end up on our rankings whatsoever. Just in its defense, you know, you have to provide a defense. In 2001, in what would appear to be something called Dirt Bike July, you sales saps have sold your souls to the Prince of Darkness for the security and comfort of a fat paycheck and hefty 401k. It's from 2001. And that is in the OED second edition. 401k, it's a noun, US. Let's move on. Look, folks, we're at 30 minutes. You've listened to the second edition of the Oxford English Dictionary for approximately 30 minutes. I've been informed I should just release this as like a test episode. Just this first half of what an episode would be. We didn't even get to A. We did get halfway through the numbered things that would lead us to A. We were exactly halfway to A. So that's something to keep in mind. But write in. If you're listening to this, you're a part of the test.
It's not a test. It's kind of like a preview. It's like a soft open.
I'll keep it going. But really, should these episodes just be 30 minutes? Would you like them to be a full hour? I could do a full hour each week. I could commit to that for the foreseeable future. It's going to take a long time to do. To do it right, which we will. But let me know. Reach out. I'm on Discord. Medley from online. You know where to find me. And until next time, don't forget.
Words, you say your silly words. You say your little words. What do they really mean? Your silly little words.